Hello, everybody. It is Brother Tupos with Sister Amen. We're ready to do our audio edification audio.
We are.
And we want to encourage you today. We've been encouraged today.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We had a great day, and we hope that you are doing well as well. We traveled a short distance. We had to do some errands. Got to stop at a few debt and bet food.
I was just going to say.
Go ahead, talk about it.
Titus 2, sisters. I found some really good deals today.
Two of our favorite debt and bet food stores.
Oh, yeah.
We like it.
And it was nice because I found some, like, all natural, organic type snack foods.
You know, like 50 cents a bag.
Like, for an example, it would be like lentils that were crispy with sea salt on them.
Yeah.
You know, things like that for 50 cents.
Yeah, there'd be like $3 or $4 a bag in a store, maybe more, and we get them for like 50 cents at a discount
store.
Yeah,
we get to find some odd, simple snacks that are healthy for like virtually nothing.
Yep,
oh, wait. How about the favorite one we liked?
What did we favorite one?
It was coconut.
Veggie chips.
Coconut-covered cashews.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we got a bunch of veggie chips that I really like, but yeah, coconut-covered cashews.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, so just a handful of that, but...
Yep. Yeah, so we stopped, we traveled, and we stopped at a couple of those, and we got in our town for our preach tomorrow. We're going to be preaching at an Apple Festival. We did it last year.
It's
kind of a unique preach for us, because this is our old stomping grounds, kind of, from when we had our homestead here in central Missouri, and this town we did a lot of witnessing to. It's a Anabaptist area, there's a lot of Mennonites here, and then there's a lot of just worldly people, obviously, both of them need the gospel, and so this area knows us.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're happy to come back, and we're going to have two brothers here preaching with us.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
That is going to be awesome, and so we got in the area, and we're ready. And but before we left this morning at the truck stop where we stayed, I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, and I look, and I see a guy pull into the gas station, and he's got a pickup truck and a ministry trailer, and I won't give the name of the ministry right now, but it was a ministry where he uses art to bring people to so-called his Jesus. I walked up and talked to this man. We'll put the audio up sometime. I'm going to put a testing up. This man, I'll call him a false teacher, snake oil salesman. He didn't know the biblical gospel. He said you accept Jesus. He said you can say a prayer. When I asked him about both things, he said, no, they're not in the Bible. When I warned him and I preached the biblical gospel to him, and I warned him about man-made church, he said, you're right. I agree they're wrong with their pagan holidays and false ways. I asked him about his own church. He goes, yeah, we do those things too. And I said, how can you be teaching all these lies and error and claim Christ? Well, you know, he made excuses. And then I turned and asked him, he does chalk art. Beautiful, he is, very talented, but he does idolatrous images of Jesus, you know, the feminine, long-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. I said, how can you be using art to woo people rather than preaching the biblical gospel that you don't? Well, I got to get going, he said. I said, well, in love, I'm going to expose you because you're teaching false. And he got in his car and he drove away. So I got an audio, I got pictures, perfect timing. I was sitting there, I saw him. If I didn't turn and look, in about 5 minutes, he would have been gone. And so I was working on the phone with some brothers, and I saw him there, so I went and got to go talk to him. You heard the audio, Sister Amen. What did you say? Think about that.
You know, I got to say, sisters, we hear all kinds of things out here. And this was one of those audios where he just said something, Brother Tupos corrected him, and he agreed with it. And I was like, why did you say what you said in the beginning?
Yeah.
And at one point he said, I'm not worried about losing my salvation or working out.
Yeah, he said, I'm not worried about sin or not being forgiven.
Yeah, something like that.
And I said, hey, the Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's like, I'm an hour late. I got to get going.
Yeah.
This is a guy that's a minister. This is a guy that does revivals. This is a guy that makes his living off of going to churches, drawing chalk art, and supposedly witnessing the gospel to people. Well, I got a question. Who's in the churches? Aren't these all supposedly Christians already? He says he's preaching the gospel in the churches. I don't know if they, like, invite strangers in, but he just puts on, it's entertainment is what it is. And
well, you know, it's a hospital for sinners.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
A sanctuary.
That's what they
for
say.
Saints. But they're right.
They're right. It's a place for all the sinners to live in their sin.
Right. The churches are synagogues of Satan that bring in all the sinners.
But it's not the people of God. So, yeah, that was perfect timing, and I got to witness to him. 2 Corinthians 11:26. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren. This guy's a false brethren claiming to be of Christ, but he don't even know the gospel. He's worldly, he's carnal, he's making money. drawing idolatrous pictures, entertaining people with fleshly ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to have to expose him online. And hopefully he'll repent and come to the knowledge of truth. He didn't love me to tell me any more truth, and he didn't love God's word to stick around. He had to go and get down the road. So pretty symptomatic of these false teachers and snake oil salesmen.
Pretty typical.
When the preacher of righteousness shows up, they got nothing to say and they got to flee.
You were actually, like, really nice to him, too.
I tried to be. I love his soul, but yeah. I still rebuked him, and he went on his way.
Well, I hope he heard something.
Yeah. Sister Amen, what is on your mind today? I think you told me. She didn't ask me which ones. I think you said you got questions for me?
Well, I kind of have to go back. I got to back up a little bit about where we are and what we're doing tomorrow before I can ask you a question.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so first I wanted to say this about where we're going tomorrow. Brother Tupo said we're going to an Apple Fest so we can go stand and preach the gospel. And I just wanted to say, last year when we were here, we had a ton of witnessing. And I remember toward the end of it, I was trying to witness to this Anabaptist-type looking woman. And she's kind of giving me the cold shoulder because I walked up to her. And it was like a real fast thing. I walked up and I said, hey, are you an Anabaptist? And she was kind of cold. She said, yeah. And as I was trying to give her a gospel card and tell her the gospel, this big guy walks up, comes over by her, I'm assuming her husband, and he goes, I turned and asked him, because she was kind of ignoring me, I turned and asked him if he wanted a gospel card, and he said, I'm already on your website. And Brother Two Post might want to step in at this point.
Well, we met this guy out at we stood outside a Mennonite church, and I asked the men to come out, and some of them did. And this guy, his father owns a big business in this area. And this is one of the guys that, this is really strange, while I'm preaching about the biblical gospel and calling them out of their sins and their false ways and their feminization, their worldliness, their paganism, his answer was, he got two or three of his brothers together, and they started singing.
In a mocking way.
In a mocking way, laughing. Yeah. And the Bible says we're to sing to each other and sing to God with a melody in our heart, sound doctrine. And they were just singing, making fun of what I was doing. Yep. And so this guy got rebuked pretty good on the internet, and he knows about it. And so he said, yeah, we're already on. His church got called out. His pastor got called out.
Yeah, he was pretty humble that day.
He was.
Yeah.
He was. He had nothing to say to me.
No, because you walked up right as they were getting ready to go.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of people in this town that we've probably witnessed to already that will be there.
Well, somebody told us that's in the Anabaptist circle, everybody knows about you guys.
Yeah, I love that. They know about us.
Yeah, good, because if we're there, maybe there's a seeker that wants to approach you.
Yeah, and can I just say this? If all these people know about us, for years I've been asking the Anabaptists to have the elders call me and show me what I'm teaching unbiblical. Not one has. Not one.
No.
They all hide in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, so that kind of leads me here, if I can get my notes back up. So while we're out there tomorrow, I know I've asked you some of these questions before, but I think it's good to ask them once in a while to keep us refreshed in case, you know, somebody goes out witnessing or maybe they miss some of the other audios.
Yep.
Got a real simple one for you. So we're out there and somebody...
Right, I don't know what this is going to be, so I'm ready.
Somebody could walk up and go, why are you protesting? What's wrong with the Apple Festival?
Why are we protesting? I always like that when they say that. Well, first of all, we're not protesting. We're here preaching the gospel. So we're not here in protest of the Apple Festival, although there's some things here that are worldly, carnal, and sinful. We're not here specifically for that. The Bible says to go out into the highways and the hedges and to invite people into the marriage supper of the Lamb. We do that by preaching the gospel, saying the King has prepared a wedding feast. That's Christ who died and shed his blood for us and rose again and says, I'm coming back for you. I'm the bridegroom. You could be my bride, but you better make yourself ready. And we go out into the world and we go to these events because why? It's a public place. It's a marketplace. It's where we're allowed legally to go. We can't walk into their churches and preach. We can't even go on their property and preach. They'll call the police on us. We can walk into these public squares. This one's in the middle of a town, all the way around their town square. The roads are cased off, and we just get to walk all over anywhere we want and preach the gospel. And our master told us, go preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. So we know when we go and preach at these public events all across America that there's worldly people there, there's carnal pagan people there might be people that are atheists there, there's a lot of so-called Christians there. Mm-hmm. Whether they're Anabaptist, evangelical, whatever. So we go to these places to proclaim the gospel because it's a marketplace where we can reach thousands of people in one day. That's why we go and do this, for the saving of their souls and to glorify God.
So you're saying it's not sinful to go to the Apple Festival?
I would say, depending upon who you are, if you're a worldly person and you're outside of the covenant of God and you haven't repented, the Apple Festival is probably the worst sin, as the least of the sin you would worry about, because you're already in unbelief, you're already friends with the world. If you look at the Apple Festival, and if somebody says, well, tell me why it's sinful, I would say it's idle use of time, it feeds your flesh, it's full of frivolity, it's fleshly and carnal with music, they're going to have music playing there, worldly music, a lot of it's about making mammon and selling trinketry, so there is sin there, but we're not there to protest it, we're there to call people out of the world. Friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God, James 4:4. If you spend your time entertaining yourself in these festivals of the world, you're an enemy of God. You're in grave danger. We love you enough to come and tell you.
But I was just coming to get some food.
Well, I'm here to preach the gospel to you. Nothing wrong with eating food, so I'm here to preach the gospel to you. Do you know Christ? Have you repented? Have you lost your life? Are you following him in spirit and truth? Are you part of man-made religion that's deceiving you and lying against his truth, which is going to put you outside of the kingdom? Which one is it? Forget about the food. Have you been born again? Have you come out of the world?
Good. Good answers. I didn't know how far I could go back and forth on this all night, but I wanted to kind of keep it.
So that's what we would do. We would bring it back around and say, yeah, there's some sinful things here, but we're not here because of that. We're here for the gospel. Hey, are you in the gospel? And then if they say, yes, I am, I go to this church, I'd say, well, where's your church? Are they here preaching the gospel?
Right.
Or are you here just entertaining yourself in the flesh? Does the Bible say we walk in the flesh, we're not of God? We have condemnation on us, Romans 8, mm-hmm. if we live in the flesh.
So why do you look that way? Are you with the Mennonites or something?
Why do I look what way?
The way you do.
Oh, you mean my tunic and my wife with her covered head?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the Bible actually teaches us that we're supposed to dress that way. And we've come out of the world and we follow Christ and his ways. God shed blood in Genesis 3 and covered us, and we follow what God did. You notice the Mennonites and the Amish, they wear their own style of dress that fits their man-made religion, but it's not godly, it's not biblical. Women are to cover their heads and wear a long, loose flowing robe. Men are to wear a tunic-like garment. These are sin coverings, and they're supposed to be unadorned, and we're supposed to feel lowly and humble and meek in them, not lifted up in pride. Flower dresses is pride. Tight clothing is pride. Dressing like the culture is conforming, Romans 12. We're not to conform. We're to be wearing biblical sin coverings. And that's why you'll see, my brothers and sisters, we dress very different than the world, because we're not of the world. Are you of the world? You look like you are.
So those other guys are with you too?
Oh yeah, those are my brothers over there.
You guys kind of look like a cult.
Yeah, well, the word cult is really a dubious one, because it means that someone following a specific religious system. We're following Christ. They actually said Paul was in a sect or a cult. I'll take that. To the world, we probably look like a cult. To the Father, he knows his own. We're not a cult. And we all look alike in similar. We look similar because we have a standard that God put us in. Just like the Mennonites and the Amish and the worldly church people, they all look alike as well. They're following a man-made standard.
Good job.
Yeah. They all wear the little bun head covering. Our women wear biblical head coverings. They wear suspenders and plaid shirts, the men. That's mm-hmm. not biblical. They wear their little pants that everybody can see their form. The women wear tight dresses and flowered patterns. You're a woman. Let me ask you, why does a woman wear flowers on her dress?
Because she likes it, and she wants to show off, and she wants to look pretty. And she
thank you for being honest.
Attention.
That's pride, and God hates that. That's an mm-hmm. abomination. That's the fruit that Christ isn't really working in your heart. And if you've never been told that, you have a chance now to repent and get it right.
Now you're judging me.
How can we help you in that? My wife would be happy to help you.
We better be careful. We'll be here all night. I tried to stop a couple
times. If you think I'm harsh, wait till I go get my wife. She'll really tell you the truth.
I was just like, hey, you're going to get me going here. I was trying to keep it to a couple
We're warming up for tomorrow.
Yeah, I could get, hey, want to go? Let's go.
We'll be here all night on this audio.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, good job.
Those
good
are
job.
Like apologetics for preaching, and we like to do role playing with the body and get these. We have young people in the body that are learning how to street witness, and those are really good ways to do it. Get them prepared. You'd be a street witness and a street preacher, you got to be able to think on your feet. One person comes up's nice, the next one's a mocker, the next one's angry, violent, the next person's nice, the next one could care less. You got to be, you know what I always like to say? Is it like, if I could use a worldly example, a street preacher has to be like, ready? an EMT ambulance driver.
Yep.
You know why? He gets a call. He's rushing there. Ah, some guy got a big splinter in his finger and it's bleeding. And they said, well, we didn't know what to do. And the guy goes, come here. Boop, pops up, puts a Band-Aid. He goes back to the station. Next call he gets, it's a bloody car accident. People are dead. There's pieces laying all over. He got to deal with that. And then the next one he gets is in between a woman having a baby. Oh, my. You got to be able to handle every situation and keep your calm, your cool, and walk in the spirit.
Right. Amen.
And that takes practice, and that takes maturity, complete perfection. That's what we're supposed to be striving for.
Right. And trust in the Lord.
Amen.
He gives us what we need.
Yeah. Be led by the Spirit. Yeah.
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 Amen.
That.
So. You said you have another question?
No. Oh. I just grabbed a couple of them because
okay.
I didn't know
Sounds
how
good.
Long we'd go on. I did, unless you had a topic or
go
something.
Go for it.
I don't have another question, but it's kind of like what we were talking about.
Sure.
Tomorrow. You mentioned about, like, we're going to have two other brothers that
yeah.
we're close in vicinity with, so they're going to meet up with us tomorrow. And you said kind of hang together so
right.
we can kind of keep an eye on each
two
other.
Two by twos.
Yep, we keep an
no,
eye on each
other.
Wait,
we're not two by twos.
No,
excuse
we're
me.
Not.
Two by twos are a cult. Christ sent men out. And workers two by two. And the reason we do that is so, like, if I'm preaching and a man gets in my face and he's violent or whatever, Sister Amen has a camera on him and could call authorities if somebody needs it, because we don't want trouble. We want peace. And two brothers can keep an eye out for each other. Yeah, there's people who can sneak up behind you and do things, push you, punch you, whatever. We want to look out for each other. And you can do that by staying close in two by two groups.
Yeah, and you know, another thing that works really good is it's making me think about this. The time that we were kitty corner from each other in a town by the Spam Museum, actually.
Yeah.
And a woman walked up to you, and about the same time, a man walked up to me.
Yeah.
And we just kind of had them switch.
Yep.
And you and I both talked for probably 45 minutes
yep.
with these people.
Right.
Whereas I wouldn't stand and talk to a man for 45
right.
minutes.
Yeah, it's good to be able to trade them off.
Or you vice versa with a woman. So it's perfect, because if I see Brother Tupos with a woman and it keeps going and going, I think, well, maybe she wants to hear, so I'm going to walk up
right.
and give
I'll
her
I'll generally preach the gospel, give them a card, find out if they're married, and then I'll usually pass them off to Sister Amen
yeah.
if she's right in the vicinity. I got to say this. Our last preach we did at a church, this is awesome. My young brother Akuo has learned how to back up his brother without saying a word. I was standing outside a church and their pastor came out, and he was a fleshly man, and he got in my face, and I put my sign up and I said, you're a fleshly man, I don't want to talk to you. Oh yeah, you got to talk to me, you got to talk to me. And he's like looking over my sign. You can see the video. Look up the Vineyard Church Exposed on our witnessing videos. And my young brother Akuo came up and stood beside me, and we both had our signs, and the guy standing there trying to talk to me, and I just used my sign as a blocker, and I said, sir, I don't want to talk to you. Don't touch my sign either. You know, that's assault. Don't touch my sign. And my brother Akuo put his sign right next to mine, and it like created a wall.
Uh-huh.
And we have a video of this guy sticking his face between the signs, like trying to talk to us. And my brother Akuo got the idea that we can like block them off, and then as they move, we just move the signs with them.
Yep.
And they realize, oh, they have an impenetrable wall. Unless they're going to physically attack us, they cannot get past our gospel signs. And what did he do, Sister Amen?
He backed off
and left, because he knew he was going to put on video.
And that goes along with Ecclesiastes 4:12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Amen.
Hey, there was three of us.
There was three of us, yeah. Oh, he tried to get at you, and I said, sir, don't
yep.
address my wife. She doesn't want to talk to false teachers.
I just turn around
yep,
and ignore him.
Yeah. So, yeah, that definitely will be having the brothers stay close together, and Sister Amma and I are always in visual sight of each other, so, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's good stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. So today in the body, we talked about we have a betrothal going on between two young people, and we talked about the importance of not being anxious about such things, because this happens to be a out-of-country type of thing. This young woman is in Canada, and so she's going to be coming to the United States, and it takes some work legally. We want to do it legally and be blameless. So we had to talk about it, and everybody got the idea that it's not good to rush. It's good to take your time. It's good to trust in the Lord. Sister Amen, you listened to that whole conversation from a woman's viewpoint, a betrothal, a woman waiting. What say you about that?
Well, it gives a woman a lot of time to prepare
mm-hmm.
and just trust in the Lord. And
get to know each other better.
Yeah, knowing each other. And, yeah, I like that, not being anxious for anything.
Right.
Because, you know, if we look at the world today and we go, the dark days are coming. What if this? What if that? Something's going to happen. And you get all anxious and you try to hurry things up and do things, whatever it is, whether it's marriage or trying to hurry up and get some plans and maybe get yourself set up in a place where you're going to be secure. Well, we can't live for those days, because what does that do? It just wrecked the day today, and it's going to wreck it tomorrow and the next day.
And we just studied about prayer. Today. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, thy will be done. If we do that, we're going to go outside of God's will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we want to use today as the gift that he's given us for Amen. Him, not for our anxiousness.
Amen. So we had a good talk, and the young people agreed, and everybody agreed that calm, patience, not being anxious. That word in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That means by supplication is asking God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that's what we're doing. We are thankful, and in prayer, we're asking the Lord to make a way for these two young people to come together in godly marriage. And that word careful means don't be anxious. So that was a good thing that we got to cover, and everybody was blessed by that, and everybody grows from that.
Oh, yeah, that's what's nice about body life. Everybody gets to learn or grow or be reminded.
By everybody else's situation.
Every situation, yeah. There's not one time somebody doesn't go through something that others don't.
Yeah, because you have single brothers watching the betrothed brother going through all the stuff, and they're going, well, I'd be like to be married too, but go, I can see the benefits of single life too. And so
both back and forth.
So
way,
also like somebody looking at a father with children going, oh, a wife and children is wonderful. But I can live free for the Lord. And I don't have to worry about that. I see the benefits of that too. So everybody gets to see all the different sides.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you have anything else, Sister Amon? Do you have a...
my verse.
You have a scripture verse?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead. Share that scripture verse with us.
It is Psalm 75:1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near thy wondrous works declared.
I love that, wondrous works. Giving thanks in our prayer with supplication. I just read that verse.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Good scripture verse. Yeah, so finally, I guess I wanted to bring up this today. In the gathering, we also talked about love in the body. We were doing a study of Colossians 3. You can check it out. That is in the Ecclesia gathering area, so you can check that out. It'll be probably posted at the top of the edification page, too. The importance of acting in love, and also we talked about verbalizing it. What do you say about that, Sister Amon? Like, you know, husband and wife say, I love you, and they usually expect to hear, love you too. And brothers and sisters, obviously brothers to brothers, sisters to sisters, although I tell my sisters I love them, but it's in general to all of them, because I do love the sisters. We were talking about how we love each other in deed, not just in word, but also the word is important. Don't you think, Sister Amon?
Well, I think it is, especially kind of like when I was saying to you, I was kind of thinking about how if you're not all face-to-face all the time,
right.
You know, to give each other a holy hug,
yep.
You know, or whatever it is
yep.
that you do, and, well, like you said, brother to brother, sister
yep.
to sister, or
yep.
whatever, to actually verbalize it and stuff, it really does say something. It
yeah.
shows that somebody actually put forth effort, because, like, since I'm speaking to sisters, you could have a group of sisters either gathering together or on a call or whatever, and everybody could be sharing the things of God, but they could be lacking a little bit in there, because it's pretty easy, you know, to share scriptures and come
right.
together and talk. But when you actually have to say something, not have to, but want to,
yep.
like love to you, because like us sisters, we say love
yep.
to you, sister hugs, because
yep.
we would hug, and if we're long
yeah.
distance, we can't hug, so we verbalize what it is that maybe you can't see long distance.
And that's easier for women. I think men, we're in a feminized culture, and godly men go, I don't want to be feminized. So,
right.
yeah, so some of the newer brothers, it's weird to tell a man you love him, but they understand what it is. It's love in Christ, and clearly Christ loved people, and Christ showed his love, and he expressed his love. So we were talking about people can't read your mind, and if you haven't talked to your brother for 2 days and you miss him, which that doesn't really happen, but if somebody had that, we talk every day with everybody. We all stay connected. But to tell somebody, you know what? I really miss talking to you. Hey, we missed our lunch call, brother. I miss talking to you. That's a nice confirmation. Hey, my brother missed talking to me. That's awesome. Versus if he never tells me that, I never know he misses me. Then it's like, okay, maybe he takes the body for granted. It's not about puffing me up. It's about loving each other, which glorifies God, and it's a sign that we're his people. So it's really all about glorifying God. And so I was telling these brothers, make sure you verbalize, whether there's issues, questions, or your feelings. Hey, I really appreciate you, and I'm thankful you're in my life. And the last point I gave the brothers, and I thought this was kind of poignant, I said, if you saw your brother for the last time and he died, are you satisfied with what you said to him? And you might look at yourself and go, wow, I haven't told him I loved him for a month. Or maybe never. Are you happy with that? And they kind of looked around and said, yeah, we see your point. So hopefully everyone learns it's good to verbalize these things. And then if you don't have love, that's a problem. If you don't have verbal love, go, oh, I love him in my heart, but I don't verbalize it. Ask God to warm your heart, to bring it to your remembrance that people like that assurance because it glorifies God. And guess what it does? It endears and draws us together. It, you know what it builds?
It does.
It builds trust.
I was just thinking about that because like what you said, hey, I miss talking to you.
Yep.
It doesn't have to always be like, I love you or right. love to you. Or
it can be appreciate.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You know what? I really like these talks we have. Yep. Thank you for spending the time with me. Just expressions of thankfulness and love and things like that. It really, well, it does mean a lot. Yep. You're right. With women, it's probably easier.
It is.
Because we just...
You're more sensitive.
It's okay if we say, hey, I love you, sister, in front of everybody. Whereas the guys to, you know, say that is kind of like
a little different. Because like I give all my brothers a big hug and they all admitted. They said, yeah, that was kind of weird when we first started doing that. Because nobody in the culture hugged. Oh, they might hug their mom a little bit when they're worldly people. But men hugging men, but it's like, okay. And I give my brothers a hug every time I see them. And it's a message of endearment that I miss them. It's good to see them. In the Bible, it talks about a holy kiss. I believe that was a cultural thing. I don't think that's a command that's totally prescriptive. I think that was descriptive. I think we can do a holy hug. You could do a holy handshake. You could do a holy, good to see you, brother. Love you. I'm glad I'm with you again. Anything that represents love, care, and concern and showing it that glorifies God, I think we need to be doing that together, however you decide to do it.
Yeah, because what did Jesus say about the world knowing us?
Yep.
John 13. They're going to see it and they should hear it.
Yep, they'll see it. They'll know that we are his people by our love for one another. So they should see it. They should hear it. And so we just talked about that. And I wanted to read to close out 1 John 3:16-19. Hereby perceive that we, the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If you lay down your life for somebody, I'm assuming you love them. Should be easy to tell them.
Might be able to tell them.
Yeah, verbal love, yeah. But whosoever hath world's goods and seeth his brother in need and shutteth his own bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So I get it right there. It does say love not in word, but in deed and truth. So I think it is more important to show up for each other, Bible study together, be committed to each other, edify each other every day. I think that is the real important part. And my brothers all do that with me. But I think it also is the verbal affirmation too. Like, hey, brother, you're going through some stuff. I'm going to be there for you if you need me. Mm-hmm. That's showing love, and I think we need to keep doing that. So we talked about it, and everybody stepped right up and saw, yeah, we need to be doing that. And so it's a glorious thing that we have a body that's responsive and hears the call and maybe feels convicted about some things, and they step right up to make changes. That's awesome.
Right, and things like this might help other people.
Exactly. People can hear it and go, wow, yeah, we don't ever tell anybody we love them. And that should be something that happens in the body. Showing love, telling love, giving love, receiving love, teaching love. We're supposed to be all about love, godly love.
Yeah, you know what? I grew up with like a loveless, wicked, nasty home.
Yeah.
And throughout my life, it was kind of like that. So I love all this love of God that I get to share with my sisters and the whole brethren, but of course more so with sisters and stuff. So for me, it just pours right out.
Amen.
I love it.
Yeah, so it's an awesome thing. So think about that, the love of God and how it overflows into the true body of Christ, the ecclesia. We're not talking about churchianity that meets for an hour on Sunday and they love each other over coffee and donuts and then they all go to their separate corners till next week. That's not biblical love. Biblical love is every day looking after each other, like a husband and wife, like parents with children, like brother and sisters in the Lord, looking after each other every day. Edify and exhort each other daily, lest you be caught up in deceitfulness of sin.
Right.
Hebrews 3:13. So... anything else, Sister Amin?
What do I always say?
Well, we I know what we got to say tonight.
Well, I always say that I love my sisters and the brethren.
Oh, yeah.
And sister hugs.
Yeah.
And what?
I was going to say we definitely need to get some sleep because we got to get up early. We got a big day tomorrow.
We do.
Yeah. So, of course, we love our brothers and sisters, and we love you if you're listening. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Check out the Ecclesia Gathering area. Sister Amin, what's going to be at the top today? Any idea?
Some pictures.
Pictures. We got pictures at the top, the link to the Ecclesia Gathering, and then tomorrow, maybe not tomorrow, but we will have more We got another preach to put up.
We're behind
a Latino preach we haven't put up yet. We're going to get the Latino preach from, what town was that? Muscatine.
Yeah.
Muscatine, Iowa. And then we'll get that up, and then we'll have this Apple Festival preach. But maybe we'll share some stories on tomorrow's edification audio of the day we just had.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Amen. All right, we love you all. Go forth. Seek after the kingdom of God. Love each other with a fervent love as we love you. Let us know how we can help you in the faith.
Amen.
You ready to go tomorrow, Sister Amin?
Well, when we get tomorrow, I will be ready.
I have a question real quick before we go.
Uh-huh.
If you get tomorrow, what would stop you from going out in the streets to preach the gospel?
I'd have to get run over by a bus or a steamroller or...
Not a big sale at Walmart or...
No. If I was sick, tell you what, you probably... pop open that foldable chair somehow. You'll find a way to rig me to get me out there, and I'll sit there and hold my sign.
I got some spare wheels. I'll put them on one of our folding chairs and just push you out there.
Yeah, something like that. Hey, we got that one, what do you call my cart?
Yeah. When the Lord puts it on your heart to go and do this, the Spirit lifts you up, and it's like, I got to go. I can't go. I tell people in the street when I get really angry people at me, and they go, get out of here, and I look them right in the eye, and I've told many people this. I said, you're going to have to kill me to get me to leave.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And they just look at you like, these people are crazy. It's like, no, we love God. We love our neighbor. We're not leaving here. We're legal, and we're going to preach the gospel. You got to kill me to stop me. And if you shed my blood, I'm still going to love you over it.
You know what?
Just walk away.
If somebody sheds your blood and they take your life, or the Lord allows them to, or me,
yeah,
we need to witness to that person if possible and
absolutely
try to get that to them.
As Stephen was getting stoned.
That would be my first charge. If somebody kills you, I'm going to try to get them the gospel.
Yep, say, I forgive you as you're dying. Like Stephen, when he was stoned, Stephen said, hold us not against their account.
Exactly.
And that's the reason Stephen says that, is that's not for them, it's for us, so we don't go into eternity, oh, those people are killing me, I hate that.
Yeah.
We go, Lord, hold us not against them. I forgive them. Receive me into your kingdom. Forgiveness of other people, that's another whole other topic, is for you, not for them.
Right.
And Christ said, if you can't forgive others, you won't be forgiven.
So even if I was on the way out to go preach the gospel and somebody ran me over and broke my legs, I'd still forgive them.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would just drag myself out on the street.
We would just tell him, she's not angry. That cringe is just pain. Both her legs are broken.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. And we hope that the Lord gives us many more years to do this.
Right. Praise
God. It's all in his will.
Yeah.
We love you all.
May God be praised.